You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. One of the core elements of our identity is our accent. But we here in the Midwest tend to believe we don't have an accent. Growing up in Ferndale, I would feel a tinge of envy whenever I heard someone from the South. Now, that was an accent. We don't have one. Nothing special about the way we speak, or so I thought. Writer Edward McClellan proves otherwise in his new book, How to Speak Midwestern. He's here with us now. Ted, welcome back to Stateside.
Hi, great to be back.
Great to have you back. Now, you grew up in Lansing, so you were only an hour or so from where I grew up. Did you also used to think you didn't have an accent?
I did until I took a class in linguistics at the University of Michigan, and I asked somebody who's from New Jersey what she had noticed about the way Michiganders talk, and she said, well, you say can for the word C-A-N, and that, as I later found out, was
great to be back.
An element
great
of what's
to have
called
you back. Now, you grew up in Lansing,
shift,
so you were only an hour or so from where.
Significant change in English vowel pronunciation in 1,000 years, and it's happening right here in the Midwest.
Interesting.
And another important element is the O sound when you say box or job. Hmm. So those are two, probably the two strongest elements of what you call the vowel shift.
I grew up saying tomorrow because my mother is from Guelph, Ontario. But then I realized everybody around me says tomorrow. So
tomorrow.
I did get that tomorrow from my mother. And then now, you know, you just don't hear that in your own head. Well, this is really interesting stuff to talk about. So let's take a listen to an example of a Midwest accent that's not you and it's not me. Here's Michael Moore as he narrates his film Roger and Me.
I got in the car and drove about an hour south of Flint to Detroit, to the world headquarters of General Motors. My mission was a simple one, to convince Roger Smith to spend a day with me in Flint and meet some of the people who were losing their jobs.
Now, you know, Ted, if I was sitting in a bar with Michael Moore, I wouldn't think there was anything going on. But when I hear that clip, good Lord. So
sure.
Kind of break it down. What are we hearing here?
Well, the first is the nasality. That's definitely a hallmark of Midwestern speech. And as I write in the book, if you want to speak Midwestern, the first thing to do is pretend the lower half of your jaw doesn't exist. Make everything come out of the top of your head through your nose.
You're right.
And that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
And the second was, as I talked about before, the way he says jobs and I got in the car. So those he has two very strong Midwestern elements in that clip.
It's pretty hilarious when you think about that so many of us from this neck of the woods say, I don't have an accent. But doesn't everyone think they don't have an accent?
Well, I did speak to a linguist who did his PhD at the University of Michigan, and he said that Michiganders in particular are insistent that we don't have accents. And when he was going out doing his fieldwork, people were very puzzled by why he could possibly be interested in the way people from Michigan talk. And I think some of that comes from the fact that starting in the 1920s, the leading expert on English pronunciation was a professor at Hiram College in Ohio. And he introduced as standard English a lot of elements of Midwestern speech, such as pronouncing your R's. If you go back and listen to old actors or actresses such as Katharine Hepburn, and she sort of had that high-tone mid-Atlantic accent, which almost sounded English. And that really started to go out of style starting in the 30s and the 40s and 50s. And so Midwesterners started to think of themselves as being the standard. But, you know, as the Northern Cities vowel shift has advanced, I think it actually has made us more distinct from the rest of the country.
Fascinating. You know, years ago, and really there's still some who subscribe to this today, broadcasters were trained to speak in that Midwestern accent because
sure.
It was seen as very neutral,
right.
You know, fit everywhere. Is that why?
Yeah, it was the professor in Ohio, and he was consulted by NBC to write the manual for standard English pronunciation. And of course, this was at a time when the Midwest had more economic and political power than it does now. You know, Cleveland could say half of the population of North America is within 500 miles of Cleveland, so it really was considered the center, the middle of the standard of things.
We note that blacks and whites have the biggest difference in speech in the Midwest. Why is that?
Well, because of segregation. Residential segregation was stronger here than really in any part of the country. So when blacks moved up from the South, they lived in isolated neighborhoods where they had no social or professional interaction with whites. So there's a bigger gap between white and black accents in the Midwest than anywhere else. Although they say that in younger generations, there's been the development of what's called a black scent, in which speakers will pick up some of the vowel sounds. I listened to a clip of Common, who's a rapper from Chicago, and he talked about winning an Oscar. So he was sort of doing that fronted O sound. Although if the totality of his speech, he still has Southern elements in there, and you would not say he has a Chicago accent, but there are elements now.
So the training was important. And actually, you kind of mentioned that mid-Atlantic accent or the transatlantic accent. And if I'm not mistaken, that was actually developed by a Canadian linguist, and it was taught to the movie stars. So they had that idea and that whole kind of upper crust kind of English, but not exactly. British received pronunciation and American English mixed together. But
well,
you're right.
I listened to a speech by William McKinley, who was from Ohio, and even he talked that way.
Interesting.
There's never been a greater challenge for America.
Yeah. There's nothing like listening to really old classic radio dramas, and I love to do that, to realize how we have shifted, even in something as the name of a city. In early dramas, there was one called Romance of the Ranchos, and it was about the development of California. And they inevitably talk about Los Angeles. You never, absolutely, the announcers and here in Los Angeles. And so in the 30s, even into the 40s, you know, it was not what they will probably laugh at the way we say Los Angeles today. So,
So
it goes to show that this is a very fluid thing.
Yeah, well, one thing I definitely learned is that every generation has its own sound, just like every generation has its own slang. Accents are always shifting and changing. You know, in Chicago, you'll hear more the what you call the classic Chicago accent as it was parodied by the superfans. You'll hear that more among older speakers. And I think that education and social mobility have led to a lot of accent leveling everywhere. And one thing, and this is true of the Midwest and everywhere, you'll hear the local accents are going to be strongest among white people who work in jobs that don't require a lot of contact with people outside the region, say maybe police and firefighters and tradesmen, and who've lived in the region their entire lives.
Before you go, let's talk about some words that make us uniquely Midwestern. Now, we all know about the pop versus soda thing, but what other words are just ours?
Well, I can give you some Michigan words. Well, how about troll? You know what a troll is?
To me, a troll is, well, I'm thinking of somebody who lives under the bridge, who's a Lower Peninsula.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody who lives under the Mackinac Bridge.
Yeah. Of course, now in the internet age, we've got trolling and trolls have a different meaning, but
right.
I grew up with that sense. So that's a Michigan slant on that word.
Where do you go to buy your beer and your potato chips?
The party store.
The party store. That's uniquely Michigan.
Ha!
adding an S. So, you know, we're going to Kroger's. We're going to Kmart's.
That's okay. So Michigan.
Yes, and that supposedly came from the fact that if you went to work for Ford, you went to work at Mr. Ford's. And so people added S's to all their other business institutions. Okay, I got a note here. Talk about Punchki.
Oh, yes. Punchki, absolutely.
Right. That's all over the Midwest. That's the Polish Mardi Gras. There's the Punchki eating contest in Hamtramck. So somebody ate 23 in 15 minutes.
Wow.
And then there's the hot dog with chili and mustard on it.
Our Coney Island.
That's right. That's a Michigan, uniquely Michigan phrase.
There's so much interesting stuff that you'll read as you look through Ted's book, How to Speak Midwestern. You go, oh, my goodness. And so, I mean, we could just go on like this forever. It's a fascinating book. And I know you've got a series of appearances all around the state coming up, which is easy to get the schedule. Just go to Facebook and search for How to Speak Midwestern, and the schedule will all be there. And fun book. It's always fun talking linguistics and kind of reminding ourselves that, yes, we do have a spiffy accent. Dan McClellan, it's great talking with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot.